One mansion, one crew, one massive heist. Do you want in? Paddy's Mansion Heist is an online game show at Paddy Power with entertaining hosts and four live-action bonus rounds, all set within Paddy's Mansion. Bet on the different wheel segments and explore the mansion. Crack Paddy's vault and win up to 4,000 times your bet. Think you've got what it takes to beat the bookie? Play the first ever live game show made exclusively for Paddy Power. Search Paddy's Mansion Heist to join the crew. Paddy Power. Full T's and C's apply. Please play responsibly. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome along to the From the Horse's Mouth as we look ahead to a Saturday, and a very busy Saturday of racing. Not as busy as last Saturday, but we've got the Irish Oaks weekend at the Curragh, and ITV are going to show us a couple of meetings, including Newbury and Marco Raisin. It's welcome back to Ruby Walsh, and it's hello again to Rory De Largy, fresh off his Group 1 winning tip on Saturday. Millstream, you were so confident about Millstream, I couldn't stop you talking about it, Rory. I couldn't stop you.
I can't go blank in the July Cup, can I? I hadn't realized what price he was until I saw that. 16 to 1 the day before.
Tasty. Those sprinters, huh? Ruby, how are you? We missed you last week. You well?
Good, PK, yourself?
I'm very good, thank you. Did you sit down and watch every single race on Super Saturday?
Did I sit down and watch every single race last Saturday? No, I did not.
And it was actual Super Saturday. I was gutted you weren't on the pod last week because we could have had a Super Saturday conversation. But anyway, should be a good weekend. You going to the Curragh?
Super busy. I think that's what you were going to call last Saturday.
Exactly.
I am in the Curragh for the weekend. Yeah. No, what did I watch last Saturday? I watched the rugby, actually.
No, it was good.
The tennis.
That was... tennis wasn't great. Djokovic didn't turn up. It was a shame.
Did he not? Well, I was hoping he wouldn't turn up on Saturday because he wasn't playing until Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
So there was no need for him to be there Saturday, really. That's why probably he didn't turn up. It was a busy day.
It was good fun. Maybe he should have turned up on Saturday and did more practice. He was useless on Sunday.
That's his problem, isn't it? Not enough practice.
Yeah, he's lazy. Yeah, that Djokovic fella. Before we get stuck in, what we're going to do is we're going to, as I said, cover all of ITV, or at least, we're going to actually look at all of ITV, and we're going to cover the entire Saturday card at the Curragh, the Irish Oaks card. It's a lot of racing to go through. But before I do, if you were on X or Instagram and you follow various jockeys, you couldn't have missed the BAFTA, which is not just a organization, but is an actual place, I believe. There was the big premiere for Champions Full Gallop, which will be live Friday or beyond ITV Friday, 9 o'clock, and available on ITVX as well, I believe, on their streaming platforms. So do make sure you check it out. It is primetime stuff and everyone says it's great. So I'm looking forward to seeing it. And for those in Ireland who don't have access to ITV, do what my father does. Ring your son and tell him, how do I get ITV on Sky again? Every single time he rings me and just like, oh, I've shown you this 16 times. But anyway, find a way. We're hoping it'll be on Virgin Media later in the year, maybe the end of the summer, but fingers crossed on that. But Champions Full Gallop, watch out for it. It does look great. All right, lads, let's start with Newbury.
Is that scheduled to be on on Virgin then by the end of July?
No, not the end of July, Ruby. Let's say maybe September. How about that?
Would that be autumn?
Yeah, look, I mean, again, Ruby, just give us... All right.
I was only wondering. I was slightly confused.
Maybe they'll get it later.
When you said later in the summer, I just...
September could be summer in places. All right? Yeah. Twice already. Oh, my God. This is going to be a long episode. We talk racing. 150 at Newbury is the first on ITV. It is possibly going to be won by a Shadwell horse. Now, we're recording just afternoon on Thursday, as we normally do, and the traders have literally just revealed the prices as I speak. And I mentioned it was likely to be a Shadwell fest, this race. Al Yanabi for Jim Crowley and Owen Burrows is his pick, Jim Crowley, because he's gone for him ahead of Al Azzi. So it's 4-5, first price, Al Yanabi, 130, Al Azzi. And then outside of that, in the Steventon Stakes, it's 8-1 bar. All right, Ruby, on your return, Shadwell 1-2. Has Jim got it right?
I can see exactly why Jim has gone the way he's gone. Al Azzi hasn't run, obviously, since Champions Day last October at Ascot, when he was a bit disappointing. He had chased home Adelaide River at Leopardstown at the Irish Champions Festival, I think is the correct terminology for it now. So I can see, but not having had a run, why Jim has gone for Al Niabi, who ran, I think he ran well in the St. James's Palace behind Rosalian. finished just ahead of Notable Speech, of course, who had beaten him in the 2000 Guineas at the Newmarket. So, yep, I can see why he's gone the way he's gone. And with fitness on his side, I'd probably be slow to oppose Al Niabi, who kept at it in the St. James's Palace.
Jim's got it right, according to Ruby. Rory, your take on the Steventon Stakes?
Yeah, I was with Al Niabi as well on the basis that he might have a bit of improvement in him. He does need to improve a little bit on the figures to beat Al Azi, but as Ruby says, Al Azi's been off the track for a while. He's got a good enough record fresh. He won first time out in 2021 and 2022, Al Azi, and then he had a season cut short. He was off for over a year before getting beaten at Newmarket and was returned last year. So I wouldn't be massively worried about him going well fresh. But Al Niabi is a three-year-old stepping up and trip for the first time. He's run well without looking quite top class on his two starts this season. But he does have stayers in the pedigree. I know he's about Too Darn Hot, but we're seeing Too Darn Hot producing winners at trips well in excess of what he raced over himself. And Al Niabi has a couple of decent mile and a quarter performers. Sorry Year, who did well in these colours, got back a few years. To suggest that he will, he looks like he will stay a bit beyond a mile. So I think there should be improvement to him moving up and trip. 4 to 5 is not massively appealing, I have to say, but he's the pick of these. Savvy Victory has shown himself to be just shy of this class on multiple occasions. Sons and Lovers ran very respectably in Group 3 company at Royal Ascot, but looks to need to improve a fair bit to get involved here. So you're really looking at last year's first and second, Al Azi and Phantom Flight, both coming off a layoff, and Al Niabi, who's race fit. So he's, you know, he ticks more boxes than everything else, and he's the likeliest winner. I'd like to think he'd be odds against on the day, though, at some stage.
He might. Loads of betting to go under various bridges between now and Saturday, 150. So Al Niabi gets the double vote. On to the 2 mile handicap on the card at 225, well, 2.5 miles a furlong. Royal Ascot form to the fore here, with the top four in the market all having run at Royal Ascot. Pridwen is just about favoured at 130. 7-2, Kyle of Lochgal. She ran a cracker at Royal Ascot. Down the field were Nakib and Temporise at Royal Ascot. They're 9-2 and 7-1. And how on earth Shagpile got through the BHA naming committee. But that horse is 8-1. It's Tens Bar, Rory De Largy, in the 2 miler, 225.
Nothing wrong with Shagpile.
I'm sure it's a normal name. Thing. Yeah, I'm sure it's a normal thing.
The dam's called La Pile. You know, Shagpile's a kind of carpet, in case you're not aware of that. But anyway, yeah, well, might as well start with Shagpile. I think she's got a decent chance here. She was out of her depth two starts ago. You might as well give her a chance to get a bit of a black type. But she was well beaten in the Bronte Cup over the Ebor course and distance at York, and then she was back to winning ways in a handicap at Fosse Lass on her latest start. She was pretty professional about that, workmanlike, I suppose you'd say. But the handicappers only put her up £1 for winning. Tyler Hurd claims 3 off her, taking over from Lewis Edmonds. So she's effectively £2 lower for winning last time out. She is a very straightforward conveyance. And I thought she had a fair chance of winning what's, it has to be said, is a very open-looking handicap. But I'd give I'd make Shagpile my selection. Price dependent, but I think she's not going to be at the top of the market here, is she?
She's 8-1 as we record. Fourth, I think that's fifth choice in the betting.
Yeah, that's fair enough. As I said, it is very open, but she's got her conditions. She's reliable. She's reasonably handicapped. She'll do for me.
Okay, Shagpile for Rory, who unsurprisingly is a half sister to Pile Driver. Ruby.
Yeah, as you said, PK, plenty of Royal Ascot form on offer here. Pridwen seems to be a better horse maybe on the all-weather, blazed the trail in the Ascot Gold Cup for a while before kind of ran away with Colm Shepherd down towards Swindley Bottom and faded ultimately. He drops in class. I didn't think there was any real excuse for the horses that ran in the Ascot Stakes. I don't think either of them, from the time they turned in, ever looked like winning. Pledge of Allegiance was there for pegging back. Divine Comedy was the one that took your eye coming out of the pack to maybe run down Pledge of Allegiance. But Kyle of Loch Alsh or Temporise never looked like getting involved. So I overlooked them, and I was going to go with Dancing in Paris. Did manage to win as a 3-year-old over a mile, having drawn a blank as a 2-year-old. No more joy after that. Was second a couple of times at 10 furlongs. Came back this year then and when stepped up to 12 furlongs at York in May, managed to go and win a race. Then couldn't carry the penalty with over 12 furlongs at Goodwood. Stepped up to 14 furlongs at Ascot and beat Tactician. And I thought was snug enough at the line Dancing in Paris. And I think going up again another 2 furlongs will suit Dancing in Paris. So I was going to go with him maybe at a price, PK.
Yeah, it would be a decent price. Just checking. I'll get that race back open again. Dancing in Paris at 10-1 as we record for Ian Williams and Kieran O'Neill. And happily enough, of course, we're all heading to Paris for the Olympics, aren't we? Not too far away. Right, 3 o'clock at Newbury. This is the Hackwood Stakes. It's for horses, probably not good enough to run the July Cup last week. So it's a group three over the same trip of 6 furlongs. First show prices, Elite Status or Status. You're 3-1 joint favourite with Lake Forest for Haggis and Marcand. Then Regional, who's a late withdrawal from the July Cup, is 100-30. 6-1 James's Delight and 9-1 Diligent Harry 14's Bar. Ruby Walsh, Hackwood.
Yeah, he's come back a long way to find the form for the horse that I fancy. Well, at 6 furlongs anyway, and that's Twilight Calls. If you go all the way back to May of 2021, Twilight Calls did win over 6 furlongs at Doncaster, but has been campaigned solely then at 5 furlongs, with the exception of a run at York over 5.5 furlongs. I fancied him in Sandown on his last start after a good run at Ascot, but he just looked too slow for 5 furlongs. He was last flat out and stayed on well when the race was over under Ryan Moore. He's obviously at the Curragh, so Trevor Whelan takes over, and I think Twilight Calls can eventually get his head back in front. Now he's back up to 6 furlongs.
Yeah, big ride for Trevor Whelan, taking over from Ryan. Twilight Calls for Ruby. Rory?
Yeah, well, we were both at Twilight Calls at Sandown, but I was concerned about the ground for him there. I thought they might take him out. He'd never raced on softer than good to soft before. He only had one run on that early in his career, and most of Twilight Calls' racing has been done on good or quicker ground. So you could give him another chance. I have given him several chances this season, and I might have to just back off Twilight Calls at this stage. Another one that I've backed before and will back again is Quinault, who I'm sure has got a decent race in him, but he was disappointing. I know it was a tough task in the Queen Elizabeth II Jubilee Stakes for him, but I know the connections were expecting quite a big run, and he faded out of it. First time he's not worn a hood. I quite like the idea of him not wearing a hood. I think, you know, eventually horses who need a hood learn to race. And they learn to settle a little bit better, and they're actually better with the hood off in an ideal world. And I think that might come for him. But he's too well handicapped for me to be racing in sort of Group 1 and Group 2 company. He's got a handicap rating of 102. I think he can make that count. So I'm going to pass him over as well, despite the fact he's a big price here. And he's, as I said, I'm sure he's going to pop up at some stage. I'm going to take a chance on Elite Status here, but I've got slight concerns about his soundness. Now, I really liked him on his return. His form at 2 was a little bit in and out, but he had physical problems that basically meant that he was not always at his best. But when he was at his best, he looked very good. He looked good when winning the national stakes at Sandown. He was close in the Norfolk at Ascot after that, and then went and won a Group 3 in Deauville, but disappointed in his final couple of starts. Right back to his best when beating Relief Rally over course and distance on his reappearance, but then was taken out at Royal Ascot I think he was lame on the day, and that's the thing. He definitely has intermittent lameness issues, and there is the possibility that comes back to haunt him. And I think they're clearly very careful with that at the moment, and they spotted it before he was due to run at Royal Ascot and took him out. This track suits him very well. I thought he looked impressive on his reappearance. I thought he had every chance of winning that Commonwealth Cup, which he was taken out of, and I will back him to come good again here. Not the kind of horse you want to back each way, given that he's got those couple of very disappointing efforts on his card. But if he's sound, then he's got a big chance. And obviously, Carlberg is well aware of what his issues are, and will take no chances with him.
elite status at the moment, sharing favouritism, but there's very little between him, Lake Forest and Regional. In the Hackwood Stakes, over 6 furlongs, on to the Wetherby Super Sprint, the feature at Newbury on a Saturday. It's a 5 furlong dash. Obviously, it's for juveniles, I say, obviously. Yeah, it is for the juveniles. And often we get a horse who's very highly rated and go off a short price. Not so much this year. 5-2, It Ain't Two is the favourite. Ushie Murphy and Hugo Palmer. It's 11-2. Vingegaard, I'm going to go with pronunciation that one. 6-1 Mythical Composer for Clive Cox and Ross Orion. 6-1 Time for Sandals. And 7-1 Caddy, who's actually the, of those that I can see in official rating, is the top rated in the 7-1. Back to you, Rory, for the Wetherby Super Sprint.
Yes. No, it's not my idea of a punting race, the Super Sprint, but it's difficult to see It In Two out of the frame here. She's got plenty of experience. She popped up on debut on quickish ground at Newmarket, and she's run with credit since. She's obviously just shy of listed class, if you like, but she's got black type for making the frame in listed company at Sandown last time out. That's as good as anything she's done so far. She's still progressing with racing. She gets in here of a very light weight because of the conditions of the Super Sprint. So with 8-7 on her back and that listed class form in the book, Ocean Murphy riding out of his skin at the moment. He rode a treble at Bath yesterday for three different trainers who he wouldn't normally ride for either. And I thought he was riding with tremendous confidence. So no negatives there. And in two, that was the only concern, I suppose, is whether 15 is the right side of the track. But to be honest, looking at where the speed is likely to come from, he's got a couple who want to go forward and do it now, and Paddy's Courage in stall 16 and stall 18, and he's stuck in behind there. You've probably got a fair bit of speed across the track, really. So I don't think she should be too worried about being stuck in stall 15. And just hope that they all sort of coalesce up the middle rather than racing in two or three different groups. But she's got the best form in the race. Conditions are fine for her. She ought to go very close.
All right, It Ain't Two for Murphy. It's Ushin and Hugo Palmer. Richard Hannon usually wins this race. Ruby, are you going with his? He's a 12-1. He's got Miss Kalida.
Yeah, Miss Kalida is 12-1. And I thought the other one of his that had a choice. Oh, Miss Kalida, sorry, yeah. Kalida, you said. Sorry, I was thinking I didn't tip.
Another mistake. Don't worry, Ruby. I've got through
it. I didn't write down
an
eye. I was thinking Miss Kalida. Yeah, got a great split at Salisbury when they got to the breakaway to beat Mr. McGregor under Joe Levy, claiming 5. Tom Marcan takes over. But I thought Mr. McGregor's back in here again. Rory's probably nailed it, but Miss Kalida, I think, would run a decent race anyway.
Miss Kalida for you?
Yeah.
I love a pina colada. I love a pina colada, producer Mark, who's just asked whether I like a pina colada. Yes, I can pronounce it, but when Ruby's on, I just seem to fall apart. All right, so Miss Colada for Ruby.
What did you call the favourite again?
It Ain't Two.
Second favourite, then.
I went with Vingegaard, but I'm not confident.
Surely
it's
named after Jonas Vingegaard, the cyclist.
Oh, really? Okay, I don't know anything about cycling, so that's fine. I'm happy enough to play completely dumb there.
Like, thereabouts in the Tour de France.
Oh, currently, is he? Okay.
Pogacar, like.
Now, is the cyclist a sprinter, or does he go up the mountains? Is he? Which
no,
one is
he's,
he?
No, he's in second place.
Oh, well then, sure. Well then, he can't win this. It's a 5 furlong sprint, so it's done.
Possibly.
Absolutely no chance. Right, so, yeah, wouldn't have known him. Actually, the fellow who's winning, I don't know him either. I'm completely lost in the cycling. But It Ain't Two and Miss Colada for the selections for the Wetherby Super Sprint. We go to Market Raisin, folks. Their summer plate meeting, which is, sometimes you can get a couple of Galway clues. There's a couple of races live on ITV, the 205. Rory, you're on your own for this one. It's a handicap hurdle over 2.5 miles. Piffo will be top weight and might be favoured as well. 7-2, course and distance winner, going for 3 in a row for John Joe, and Alan O'Neill. That's the one to beat. Are you with or against the Jolly? Likely Jolly.
I'm against it. Not specifically against it. I just like the chances of Flying Fortune here for Peter and Mickey Bowen with Mickey's brother and Peter's son James taking the ride. It's a meeting that the Bowens historically have done well at and tend to target. It's been a sort of in and out season. Well, not in and out season, but in and out year for Peter Bowen. He's now training with Mickey, who used to train the Pointer Pointers, and they're on the license together. And they found some form in the last few weeks. Still, not all the horses are running well, but the strike rate is pretty good, and the right horses are getting the right results for them. So that's promising for Flying Fortune, who was a fairly useful bumper performer. The Bowens bumper horses don't always translate the form to hurdles immediately. They tend to take need a fair bit of experience, and that's really been the case with Flying Fortune as well. She was disappointing once or twice. She did a lot of her racing through sort of the winter and early spring on heavy ground, but she showed improved form last time, I thought, when finishing second at Uttoxeter back in novice company, when running up to Gail Mahler. She'd have gone close to winning that if she winged the last hurdle, but she misjudged it, lost a bit of ground, and was beaten 2.5 lengths in the end. She can't afford to make mistakes here. And in fairness, her jumping was pretty fluent on the whole at Uttoxeter. I think she'd be suited by the way this race is run. They'll go quick here. I also think she's a little closer to the pace than she did last time. And she seems to be going in the right direction now. So a mark of 109 is fair enough. She was only just beaten on her handicap debut of 107. And I thought that came on ground that was soft enough for her. So on the ground, they're liable to have it at market raising, which is good at the moment. A little bit of rain around, but not an awful lot for market race, as far as I can tell. I think she's been well placed to run a big race here.
Nice price too, 10-1 as we record the Flying Fortune. On to the summer handicap hurdle at 240. Top of the market, first show of prices is Fringal Dyke. The top weight for Jed O'Keefe and Craig Nicol. Joint favourite with the well-backed Manuelito for the Pipe Tudor team. 4-year-old taking on the Elders. They're both 11-2. 7-1 Black Poppy, who's last seen chasing Constitution Hills. Should be Cameron Waters here. Chaos Control 9-1, as is Maxell and Tens Bar. Ruby, on your return, the summer hurdle, please.
Yeah, I fancied Manuelito. Was on a bit of a winning spree. Looked like he got a couple of runs to get handicapped. Won at Wincanton in April, followed up at Foss Lass in May. Dropped back then for a run on the flat at Carlisle, where Whimsy won. Tom Marcand rode, and it was a well-backed favourite. Ran into a bit of trouble, though, at the two-pole. Ran into the back of Ebony Maw, and Whimsy was gone. Tom Marcand didn't knock Manuelito about in the last half of furlong when he couldn't win the race, but I thought Manuelito was going forward, and off a mark of 121 under Jack Tudor, could win this for David Pipe.
I see he was 12s, 8s at one stage. Did you nab any of that, Ruby, or are you?
I did not. I only started looking at this morning, PK.
No, right, no problem. Rory, you're taking the summer handicap hurdle?
Yeah, I agree with Ruby. I think Manuelito starts favourite here. And will take plenty of beating. He's been laid out for this. You can see that. We actually covered the race he ran in at Foss Lass last time I came during the York May meeting, which we were covering, and ITV were showing one race at the away meetings all week there. So they showed that that run of the mill handicap at Foss Lass, which he won easily. That got his mark up high enough to get in here. Sneaks in at the bottom with a mark of 1-2-1. And of course, they didn't want to run him again over hurdles in the meantime. So a run in the flat where he ran very well, as Ruby's already discussed, just sets him up perfectly for this. That was little under 5 weeks ago. Jack Tudor's back on board again. Obviously, David Pipe's got Nebraska Gold in here as well. But Manuelito is the progressive one. He still gets a 4-year-old allowance there, which is worth £4 at this stage of the season. He's got a lightweight. He'll be really well suited by the test of speed that this is going to be. It's going to be a test of jumping and speed more than stamina. That's the way market racing tends to ride it. It suits horses who are able to travel well, either on or just behind the speed. And Manuelito just seems to have all the characteristics that you need for a race like this. So I think it's going to be hard to beat.
All right. Manuelito gets a double vote. On to the summer plate, the feature Marco Raisin's season, I'm going to guess. And this 3:15, 2 miles, 5.5 furlongs, go away play trip. 7-1 favourite, Mole Court for the Benz, Jones and Pauling. 8-1, Al Zarakan, the top weight for the Englands, Jonathan and Sam. 8-1 for the Skeltons is Boomborn. Also 8-1 is Soul Icon for Kieran Burke and Tom Bellamy. Statuario for Sean Bowen and Peter and Mickey. And also 8-1 for a lot of other horses. Right. This is wide open, Rory. The summer plate takes a good horse to win it, though, usually.
It does. There are a lot of horses with chances in here. A lot of horses on you know, handicap marks that are kind of the top end for them, but they're in good form and suited by conditions. And it's not easy finding the winner. So I've gone down a very familiar path. with Frankie de Burle, who's fallen in the weights. He's an 11-year-old now, but again, Peter Bowen has always done well at keeping these old-timers fresh and then getting them back for races that suit them. We saw what he did with Horse Gold, always winning in the top, and kept coming back for that and showing his form despite looking like he was beginning to regress elsewhere. And Frankie de Burle has run two decent races this summer, with cheek pieces applied, finishing third at Perth. I backed him that day at a biggish price, though he ran respectably. And then he's backed that up with a good third at Cartmel last time, behind Charlie Uberalis. Now, Charlie Uberalis was very well handicapped there on the form that he'd shown in the Great Yorkshire Chase earlier in the season. He was given a real chance by the handicapper. So I thought that was a perfectly good run to finish within six lengths of him giving weight away. The handicappers eased him slightly for that. He's down to 1.31. It's only a small ease in the weights, but in races like this, horses are always just sort of climbing the weights a little bit on the back of good performances. And Frankie de Burle, who's won this race twice before, finds himself, I think, £9 lower than when he won the race a couple of seasons ago. So he's not quite the force of old, but he's back in good heart. He's on a mark that suits him, and he's just really well suited by the way these races at market race and set up. He's a good jumper. He'll keep running all the way to the line. There are obviously younger legs in here. There are more progressive horses in the contest, but he will love it. And I can see him hitting the frame again at what should be a decent price.
I have him down as having won the race 8 times, Peter Bowen, since the mid-90s. So could it be number 9? He also has Statuario in the race now with, obviously, Mickey Bowen. But Frankie de Burle going for the hat-trick. Ruby, your thoughts on the summer plate?
Yeah, I think it's good and competitive, PK. And I've gone for one that lacks a bit of experience, but to me looks like it's been half laid out for this. And that is Boom Bowen of Dan Skelton's. Was a progressive enough hurdler, was second in Appers Hill in the Novices Championship Hurdle Final on the last day of the season back in 2022. Beat Teddy Blue the following October. Was going okay, and then obviously got injured at some point because he missed almost a year from May of 23 when he won a 2.5 mile handicap hurdle at April in Aintree, in May time. He was off until the following March. He went chasing in May time, won first time up at Warwick over 2.5. But he's dropped back in trip for his next two runs. He was third at Cartmel over 2.1 and second at Worcester over 2 miles. I think he's crying out for the trip. I just think that the Skeletons have obviously won first time in Warwick off 1.35. They dropped him down in trip for experience at speed. And he's in here again off 1.35. So Boom Bowen for me, for Dan and Harry Skelton.
All right, Frankie de Burle for Rory. Boom Bowen for Ruby in the summer plate, which always, for me, says, right, go is around the corner. Right, we are going to take a very quick break and look at every single race on the Irish Oaks card at the Curragh.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
And welcome back, looking ahead to the Irish Oaks card at the Curragh. Remember, pop in to a Paddy Power shop, folks, over the course of the weekend. We'll give you a free bet if you have a 10 or double on any of the races over the weekend at the Curragh. We'll do the same for the Premier Race Days at Newbury and Market Race, and details in shops for that particular special. Right, busy day for us. We've got the Colton Geldings Maiden kick things off at 1.30. Unsurprisingly, Aidan O'Brien's got a few in there. Ryan has picked Ides of March, who was good fourth on debut. Curragh Wood, though, for Paddy Toomey, show good form on debut. Billy Lee on board. And then Johnny Mertz's Dakota Blue was a nice second on debut. So, Ruby, you go first with the opening maiden on the card.
Yeah, obviously, Curragh Wood chased home has Dan of Dermot Wells, who was a good price in a maiden here on Derby weekend. Ides of March was in the race won by Beckman. That form will have been put to the test, PK, because Distance Seas runs Thursday night in Leopardstown, and so too does Mount Parnassus. So you'll have a good handle on that form if you're listening to this podcast by Saturday morning. But the one that kind of caught my eye was Dakota Blue at Tipperary. It was only a four-runner conditions race, and Surpass was, look, on form. He'd won at Tipperary first time up, and he looked like he progressed when he beat Dakota Blue. But I like the way Dakota Blue came home. It looked like the penny only dropped for him in the last furlong. So I was going to go with Dakota Blue to have stepped forward from his Tipperary run, dropping into maiden company.
All right, Dakota Blue. Rory, you're taking this maiden. I know it's not your bag, but we're going to get a selection for every race.
Yeah, indeed, and you will have one. And I agree with Ruby here. I like Dakota Blue. You can knock the form in terms of the speed figure, the time figure he put up that day. But actually, that's what I liked about it. The race wasn't run to suit a horse who was a little bit green and slowly away. And Surpass obviously is potentially a smart prospect. He's in the National Stakes in September. Lady O was a winner prior to that, and she's run very well since as well. I thought he did well to split the pair of them. He was beaten three lengths by Surpass. I think there's no shame in that. But he came 2 1/4 lengths clear of Lady O. And the last of four there, running Son of a Gun, I thought he actually ran better than the bear result earlier this week for Tony Mullins. So I thought the form was okay in that race, and Dakota Blue shaped well, should come on a fair bit for it. And I thought he was the most interesting runner here.
Okay, double vote for Dakota Blue. Right, on to race number two on the card. It is the maybe second or third nursery that's been run in Ireland. Maybe it's the first, I'm not even sure, but there can't have been too many. Ryan Moore is obviously on board the Coolmore Horse Snapdragon, who makes handicap debut of 83 in the race. The tissue prices have Rudy's Apple, though, as the favourite for Joseph. And I don't know, Rory, are you one of those ones who just, like many, back the top weight in a nursery? It's an oft-used phrase. Is it? Any stats on it?
It is. I haven't looked at the stats on this recently. I did years and years and years and years ago. But then years and years and years and years ago were where the old adage came from. It's not necessarily as true now. I thought that was an awful lot of weight for a two-year-old to carry. Rudy's Apple's got 9 stone 12. And in the old days, you know, you talk weight in the nursery, you might be carrying 9 stone. 9 stone 12, you know, is a stopping weight for a two-year-old, I thought. So although Rudy's Apple's shown a load of ability, including at Royal Ascot, I thought he'd be doing well to give lumps of weight away here. The one I liked here, and, you know, don't have a go, Powerful Lady for Natalia Lupini and Wayne Lorden. She was well beaten at Down Royal last time out, but I'm taking the chance that's not her running, and that Natalia decided this was a nursery filly, because she shaped very well on her debut at Cork, was then sent across to Beverly for the Hillary Needler, where she shaped an awful lot better than finishing ninth. She would have been third, I reckon, but for being snatched up inside the final furlong. She was trying to come with a run on the far side of the track, and she gets squeezed out. And Luke Morris stood up on the saddle and made a big statement about having to snatch up on her. But yeah, she was staying on for a share of maybe third or fourth until that happened. That would have been an improvement in what she'd shown on her debut at Cork, and would make her look very fairly handicapped here off a mark of 72. Didn't get anywhere near that form last time out, went off a reasonably short price at Down Royal and didn't find anything for pressure. But I'm hoping that was, you know, third run for handicap mark, light under a bushel. The real Powerful Lady steps out here, but she'll be a good price, I would have thought. 72 is fair in those first two runs. She's getting a lot of weight. She's getting a stone and four from the favourite here. So I'll give her a chance of coming good at the fourth time of asking.
Powerful Lady then for Rory and the Gary Devlin Silks for Natalia Lupini. Ruby.
Yeah, and I was going to go with the top weight, not purely because of your theory, PK, but I was glad to hear you saying it. But Rudy's Apple does have the best form in the race. And I guess maybe Rory's spot on. Maybe 9 stone 12 will stop Rudy's Apple. But as rates have gone up and people over time have gotten bigger, so too have exercise riders and people riding out at home. And I would be very surprised if Rudy's Apple is not carrying a little bit more than 9 stone 12 every day of the week. So I think Rudy's Apple will be conditioned to carry the weight. I hope I'm right.
Rudy's Apple. Not my theory, Ruby, but it's definitely an oft-used one anyway. You hear it a fair bit.
Also worth pointing out that All Things Nice won this with 9 stone 12 a couple of years ago for Joseph, although Mikey Sheehy did claim 3 off that day. So
yeah, no claim for Dylan on this occasion. Right, the big sprint handicap on Irish Oaks weekend is usually the Scurry. But for the year that's in it, Paddy Power sponsored, and we have changed the title for this year in honour of the great man David Power. So we're calling this one the David Power Memorial Premier Handicap, as I said, used to be, and no doubt will next year be known as the Scurry. €100,000 handicap, so wide, wide open as you expect. Looking at the tissue, I mean, Mikey, we could have 5, 13 to the field, but perhaps what would be the most apt winner, and it would be amazing were it to happen. And sometimes these things happen. Heavenly Power could go off favourite for the race in Sabina's colours. Eddie Lynham, obviously the great friend of the family, and James Ryan takes the ride. Lots of usual old favourites here, but we always keep an eye on the British Raiders, and Mr. Wagyu's there for the Quins with Jason Hart on board. I will go back to you, Rory. This is more your bag. Lots of form on show here. Would we get the dream result with Heavenly Power, maybe?
I hope so. Heavenly Power has got a very good chance, obviously, from that family that have done so well in Sabina Power's colours over the years. The Dam Girl Power is the dam of Slade Power as well, and Heavenly Power is at the top of his game at the moment. Caught the eye two starts ago when not beaten far into sixth over course and distance, and then stepped up on that when only beaten by Apricot Ice, the thoroughly unexposed Apricot Ice last time out. And he comes here looking to peak for the season. You know, his three runs this season, he's been heading in the right direction. I'd say a repeat of the last run might just be good enough to win this, but there's every reason to think he might just be able to step forward another couple of pounds on that. That'll make him hard to beat. Stall 13 should be a fairly good place to come from. And as you said, it would be the result that everybody wants, from race fans to journalists to the Power family, etc.
Come on, Rory. All right, that was nicely set up. Ruby?
Yeah, I completely agree with Rory. And I hope Heavenly Power can do the business. I think the danger might come from Tango Flair drawn in stall 5. Shamie Heffernan dropped his whip on Tango Flair behind my mate Alfie at the Curragh the last day, and he was staying on well, dwelt at the start and jumped a bit left. But I just thought Tango Flair, with the weights back in his favour against my mate Alfie, might turn that around, and he did look to be bang in form. So hopefully Heavenly Power, but Tango Flair could be the danger.
Okay, so put you down for, just to confirm what I'm putting you down for?
Heavenly Power.
Heavenly Power, thank you. So Heavenly Power, but keep an eye on Tango Flair as well. Best of luck to Paddy. I know he listens on a regular basis. We're all rooting for you. On to the Sapphire Stakes 305, which is the first of group races, group two on this Irish Oaks card. This is over the minimum trip. Believing for George Bowie and Ryan Moore. Definitely going to be, well, I said definitely going to be, it should be favourite. You'd expect it. Ed Walker's there as well. Makarova, we keep an eye out for these British Raiders in these races. Carl Burke has got Beautiful Diamond. Sam James on board. Ruby, should we just focus on the British sprinters? They usually come and take our big prizes.
They do, yeah. And Believing is the obvious one. Makarova, of course, won at Sandown 2 weeks ago and beat Pure Osang. That was on a much softer surface. And Believing has been rock solid, good run in Ascot behind Asfura in the King Charles III Stakes. So yeah, Believing is the likely favourite, probably the most likely winner. Just wonder, could you be given Valiant Force a second chance? He obviously blew out at Ascot behind Asfura, but that was his first run since the Breeders' Cup. And maybe he will have improved a good bit from that. He was thereabouts down to the furlong before he weakened, but that's only 4/5 of a 5-furlong race. You'd want to be getting to the furlong pole, I suppose. But yeah, Believing is the obvious one.
Believing, but I keep an eye for Valiant Force. Rory, your take on the Sapphire Stakes?
Yeah, my only worry with Believing is that she ran twice at Royal Ascot, having won the Temple Stakes at Haydock earlier in June, and whether that might have just taken the edge off her. I don't know. She's had 4 weeks to recover, so she is the one to beat. The one thing I sort of haven't touched on in the earlier races, because it wasn't massively a concern, rain at the Curragh on Saturday, the ground will be softening up a little bit from what we have at the moment, I assume. I wouldn't mind a local view on that.
Come on, Ruby, because if Wicklow is anything to go by, it's definitely going to be soft.
It's been drizzling all morning. I don't think it'll be soft. PK, it's even... Like, you go out in the five, a couple of fields here, but you go out, like, the ground is quite quick. But the Curragh will obviously have been watering through the summer, as it's a race course compared to me here with just horses standing on it. I wouldn't have been watering, but Killarney was quick during the week. I know Killarney's a long way from the Curragh, but they still have long days, lots of daylight. And if they haven't been watering in the Curragh, it'll take the rain that's falling at the moment. No problem. Now, I don't know how much more is forecast, but I could see it easily taking what it's getting at the minute.
Yeah, well, our Norwegian friends are suggesting 11 mils.
They always over. They over-index. They over-index. I know they do. They do
a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was. In fairness, I'm not suggesting that it's going to turn very deep here. But Makarova probably wants a little bit more dig. Believing's form is all on quick ground. Good to firm all three runs this season. She was disappointing back end of last year on soft ground. So that'd be a slight concern for her. Makarova, on the other hand, really got it together in that the Coral Charge at Sandown last time out, and she looked very genuine as well. And you know, she challenged between horses, she stuck her neck out and got the job done. If it is on the soft side of good, then I would fancy her chances. But there's not an awful lot in it, to be honest. So if the track takes the rein, Believing should be the one to beat. But I'm not mad to be backing her because she ran twice at Royal Ascot. I'd prefer to be with Makarova. But Believing at her very best would be a slightly better performer than Makarova. But hopefully the ground could be the deciding factor between the two.
I look forward to reading the race card on Saturday and seeing what selection Sean, producer Sean, has put in for you there, Rory. I'm going to go with...
He can put Makarova just to clarify, yeah. But
okay.
I'm hoping it turns up on the soft side for her.
I'm doing you an absolute solid here, Sean. Right, let's go on to the Irish Oaks. It's the big one of the weekend, the Group 1 over a mile and a half, and big field, which is great to see. 14 horses declared for this contest, and Port Fairy, who ran a cracker at Royal Ascot, has got the leg. Well, he's got Ryan Moore. She's got Ryan Moore on board. She might go a favourite. We'll be interested to see if this money or if money arrives for the Willie Mullins horse, Lope de Lilas or Lilas. James Doyle, obviously riding for the new owners, Watnan Racing. You got Content, who ran a cracker when last seen. She's been busy this season. She'll be the second string. Dare to Dream, obviously, will be strongly fancied too for Gavin Hernan, Irishman based in France. So big runner for him. Alexis Pouchon takes the ride. Right, Ruby, we have to go to you first. Lope de Lilas, it does appear as though this seems to have been the plan for her since she won her maiden.
Yeah, I suppose the surprise, though, was that Ryan Moore went for Content over Port Fairy. So Content is your 11-4 favourite now, Port Fairy at 4-1 at the time of recording. Lope de Lilas next in. I think the draw has been kind of favourable to her. You're guessing, but Ruby's a red. Would look to be the outsider of the Ballydoyle 3. She's in stall 3 with a visor for the first time. So you're kind of hoping she goes forward. And having watched Port Fairy at Ascot, she looked like a douse there. Content has been running over shorter trips. So who knows, maybe they won't want to make this a stamina contest and more of a speed one for Content. So trying to figure out what they're going to do is quite difficult. But look, Lope de Lilas, she was disappointed in Galway on heavy ground on her first start. Her second start then was as a three-year-old at Leopardstown, where she beat Fishgale Lewis and fleetingly. And it was a good performance from her. She's a pretty good filly, or a really good filly, we think. But that said, PK, don't have many three-year-olds to be judging her against. And, you know, it's a shot in the dark, but she shows plenty. She seems to be in really good form. And hopefully from stall one, she's a good cruising speed. She stays pretty well. So look, hopefully she gets away well and gets a good trip round. And yeah, I ain't going to tip her, but I just don't know. Is she quite good enough?
Was she bought to go jumping, or do you know?
No. She was bought as a flat filly.
Yeah. She was a flat filly. This was always, always the plan. So Lope de Lilas in the Watnan Racing Silks for Willie Mullins. When we think back to...
Well, she was entered when she entered. She would have been entered in this last February, was she?
Oh, well then. Yeah, okay. Well then, that's yeah. Asked and answered.
From March time. She was entered from... She was entered as a maiden.
There you go. Vintage Tibble.
I actually think Willie Mullins was given out to David Casey. They never entered in the arc.
That's interesting. If the owners are in...
She could have been a maiden at the time as well.
Wow.
But that would be Willie Mullins. If you're not in, you definitely can't win. And he loves making entries.
Yeah. Well, the owners, Emir of Qatar, if he wants a three-year-old filly, progressive three-year-old filly, if she goes on to win this, I'm sure they could stump up the, was it, 125 grand supplementary? Is that it, Rory, think, to get into the arc?
It's usually whatever the third place, is it third place prize money? Yeah, tends to be on a par with what the supplementary fee is.
Six figures. Yeah. That'd be grand.
I thought it was an extra percentage of the prize money. 5%, which tends to be the third place money. Yep.
Yes. So it's on, yeah. Yeah.
Same thing. All right.
Yeah, he'll find that out in the back of the sofa.
Yeah. I think it's sitting on the sofa. The other 100 grand is down the back of the sofa. Right, so that's
any
lovely.
You can get your sofa, no?
Yeah, the sofa would be great. Just a pillow on the, or a cushion on the sofa would be fab. Lope Delilah's best luck to everyone down at Sutton. And as I said, what I was trying to say, reminds you of the great days, Vintage Tipple, of course, with Frankie on board. Right, Rory, your take on an Open Oaks, or is it?
It does look an Open Oaks. There are plenty you can give chances to in this. Obviously, the Ribblesdale form comes to the fore to some degree with Port Ferry beating Lava Stream there. I thought Lava Stream made her move a bit too quickly. She travelled really well in that race, and Danny Tudhope has come screaming through off the bend to grab Port Ferry and get to the front. And she's traded, 5-1 on in the run, and then just got worried out of it and beaten the neck at the line. I think, given the Port Ferry, as Ruby says, is a bit of a doer stayer, if Danny Tudhope had just been able to delay his challenge for another furlong on Lava Stream, I think he'd have done Port Ferry for speed at that part of the race. And I think she's so progressive, Lava Stream. She's beaten in her first few starts as a two-year-old. She made her handicap debut of Marcus 74 in May at Doncaster when winning. Followed up in a listed race when she wasn't particularly well fancied at Goodwood, which used to be the old Loopy Stakes. It's now the it's the Agnes Kieser Philly Stakes these days. Stepped forward again. And ask it to be second. As I said, I thought she would have won that race if her run had been delayed. She clearly stays, maybe not quite as strongly as Port Ferry does, but I'd give her a chance of getting a revenge here and maybe winning outright. The Curragh is not the kind of track you want to be sitting at the back of the field over a mile and a half on, though. That's the slight concern about Lava Stream. I think Danny Tudhope needs to be a little bit closer to the base generally. It doesn't tend to collapse, does it, at the Curragh? So he wants to be reasonably handy on her. But she's settled well in her last couple of starts. She's clearly got loads of ability, and it'd be great to see a Group 1 winner in these colours. Now, the Elwick Stud. But a lot of horses now carrying these colours. We've seen a few, like the Mondialist a few years ago. Jeff Turnbull, the late Jeff Turnbull, basically, he made it. Typically, Yorkshireman made a lot of money. Decided he was going to challenge the big guys and set up his own stud. It was a bit of a pipe dream. He died a couple of years ago, but his widow still involved in that. And the Elwick Stud are going great guns this season. So I'd love to see a Group One winner in these another Group One winner in these colours.
All right, keep an eye out for Lava Stream and Lope Delilah. Shout out to the lads for putting Ryan Moore on Content and thus making my preview to the race completely and utterly irrelevant. But thanks, Ruby, for saving me. Yeah, Ruby rides Content, which has changed. That was a very interesting move, as you said, Ruby.
It would be a very interesting move if I was riding Content.
No, not you. Did I say that?
That's what you said. Yeah, you did. Yeah.
Jesus Christ, lads. What's gone wrong here today? What has gone wrong today?
Really,
can you do Nine Stone 2, Ruby?
I was probably 14 the last time the needle on the scale stopped at around 9 stone.
What's wrong with you? I'll be honest, I'm heading away this weekend. I'm a little bit in kind of holiday mode. And yes, thank you, Producer Mark. Yes, I made an error when I was correcting my earlier error. Yeah, great. Okay, onwards
Carl,
we go.
Do you know what you'd say in a normal walk of life? Just put the shovel down.
Yeah, put the shovel down, walk away. It would be great. Can you take over for the rest, Ruby?
No problems. What's up next, Rory? That was the 3:40, which was the Oaks. Move on to 4:15, which, of course, is the Cormac Group International Curragh Cup. And it sees York Farm coming to the fore. The run behind Gia Valletta, Tower of London versus Vauban. Where are you going, Rory?
Sorry? How'd you pronounce that one again, Ruby?
Gia Valletta.
The other one. The normal word you struggle with. Tour of London.
Tower of London.
Oh, that's how you said it, wasn't it? Okay, Grant. Move on. Keep going, Rory.
Right. Well, Tower of London was a wee bit disappointing there, but he travelled as well as anything in the Yorkshire Cup and then just didn't find an awful lot for pressure. Maybe you do have this issue with horses who are campaigned in the Middle East earlier in the year who then have a campaign set up for the summer and the autumn on home soil, that you kind of need to let them down a little bit At a time when you'd normally be stepping things up here just to give them a break. And it may well be that Tower of London wasn't 100% there. He's got every chance if he bounces back. Vauban wasn't at all disgraced in the Ascot Gold Cup last time out. The 2.5 miles would have been far enough for him that day. And I could see him bouncing back. But I'm going to go with Shamida on her seasonal reappearance, in the hope that she's ready to go. But she's trained by a master in Dermot Weld, and she was really progressive last season. I was particularly impressed with her win in the Irish Ledger Trial, which was a race run at a rather uneven tempo. It turned into a little bit of a sprint, and I thought, despite her inexperience, she showed a lot of tenacity and a fair degree of finishing speed as well to get the better of Dawn Rising, the pair of them coming clear in that event. She then went to the Prix de Wilder at Longchamp on Arc Weekend, the same trip. And that was on quicker ground, on grounds that I think the French probably called Très Souple, but time form called Good to Firm. And she saw her good run ended, but she wasn't disgraced. She just couldn't really make any more ground from the home turn. Couldn't let herself down fully on the ground. But even though she's only seventh there, she had Poptronic behind her, another 2.25 lengths behind her. Poptronic went on to win the Filly and Mares event on Champions Day at Ascot. So there's nothing wrong with the form. Some high class fillies in front of her that day. Most of them older and more experienced than her. And I get the impression with Shamida that she would progress again from 3 to 4. There's a possibility that you know, this run might be needed, given that she's not been seen since the first weekend in October. But I'd have thought there are opportunities for her to find other comeback races if she wasn't 100%. And the fact that Dermot throws her in here first time out for the season suggests that she is ready to go. She does have a little bit to find with Vauban and Tower of London on the ratings. But I do think there is probably more to come from Shamida. And she is the type to go on and gain more Group One glory this season. Didn't manage it last year, but she was fast tracked to Group Threes and 1-2. I think she can do better again this year, and this is a good opportunity for her.
Do you want to keep going, Ruby, or will I come back in?
Well, you can log out if you're not going to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I apparently did already anyway. it is interesting the Aga Khan has kept her in training. Not necessarily the norm for three-year-old fillies who've shown group class form to be kept in training as older horses. So Shamida for Rory. Ruby, we have to start with Vauban. Well documented that Willie seems to be trying something different, but still going to Melbourne with Vauban.
Yeah, obviously different campaign. Didn't stay in the Gold Cup, and that is the one concern, PK, for tomorrow, 20th of June. When you get to you get into a race that you haven't stayed in, you've obviously gotten to the bottom of your reserves, and especially at 2.5 miles in the flat. And look, he seems to be well, he's working well, but the slight reservation is this coming too soon off the back of Royal Ascot? So I'm with Vauban. I still think he's a very good horse, but I'm cautious about him.
Nice. Well, hopefully he'll still run his race and we'll be off to Melbourne. Are you getting on the Melbourne train this year, Ruby? It looked like great fun last November.
Yeah, it was a great trip last year. And if he goes, I'd love to go back, yeah.
Yeah, looked like a good one, all right. Right, on to the 450, which is the Business Plus LAE handicap. 1.25 handicap headed in the weights by Siege of Troy, not City. Siege of Troy for Johnny Murtagh and Ben Cohen in the Qatar Racing Silks. It's a three-year-old only handicap, so it's a smaller enough field. Joseph's got an interesting runner called Put Your Hands Together in the JP Silks. And Lord Church is on a four-timer for Mick Halford, Tracy Collins and Ronan Whelan. I'll go back to you then, Ruby. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, look, Rod Church eventually got a stab for winning. That was the last day at the Curragh. 1/7 furlongs got £5. 1/1 mile got £5 up to America 74 when he won here at Derby weekend. He got £9 for that. But Mick Halford and Tracy Collins have gone up another furlong as well, and I think he carried the £9. So Lord Church for me.
Lord Church, Ruby's going to church on Saturday. Rory?
Again, I completely agree with that. He's not particularly flashy, is he, Lord Church? He didn't win by far on his handicap debut. 3/4 length when he won at Limerick. He won by 0.5 length here next time out, which fooled the handicapper into thinking that he just wanted to give a sort of standard rise for winning a handicap, but he did it again here last time. It was more impressive stepping up to 9 furlongs. So yeah, every time he steps up a trip, he improves. I think he will do again this time, and I think he's got a big chance of completing the four timer. He's just one of those horses that it was very, very hard for the handicapper to get a handle on. You know, ninth in three maidens, showing ability, but you know, no idea what level of ability he might have when he matured. And the handicapper went with 64, and the answer is probably closer to 90. And he's gradually getting there. And that's, you know, it's almost like the Sir Mark Prescott method. The three runs to show a little bit of ability, get a mark, and the horse then just thrives. And while the horse is thriving physically, that's when you take advantage. You know, he wouldn't have been able to win off a mark of 83 first time out, but essentially, you know, you're just building the horse up, getting him to his peak. And he's a well-bred son of Churchill who's clearly physically thriving. And although the handicapper belatedly tried to catch him up after his last win, I think he might just be able to keep him at arm's length one more time.
All right, double vote for Lord Church. And one more race to go on Saturday is the La Celia Wines, Irish EBF Fillies maiden. We'll need a glass of wine at this stage. Most of these have shown their form, except for just a couple of newcomers. Possible favourite here, Rory, is Castanets, though, for Joseph O'Brien. Nice debut, related to, I think, four winners for Joseph. That's the possible favourite with White Clover, Kailasa as well, for the Aga Khan. Johnny Murta, very experienced. She's got a rating of 77. You'd hope to be a filly better than 77, though, on this.
You'd like to think so. I'm not sure. There aren't too many obvious contenders apart from Castanets, who's just had that one run. Again, being a daughter of Glen Eagles, she'll appreciate there's a little bit of rain as well. She's the most obvious one. I thought she was the likeliest winner here. Kailasa has arguably got the best form, but she's not progressing, which is a wee bit disappointing. In that race at Roscommon last time out, so she looks held. Counterculture looked very promising on debut at Tipperary on bad ground. Hasn't really stepped up on that yet, but still shipped reasonably well at Goran last time out. You'd give her another chance from a very good family. So she's another one you'd give chances to. But I thought Castanets was probably the one with the most likable profile. She's less exposed than those who've shown slightly better form. She seemed more likely to take a step forward, and she'd be my pick as a result.
Castanets for Rory. Ruby?
I'm going to go for one a bit left of field here. I don't even know how to pronounce it. Nunc Bibendum.
You've absolutely nailed it. And you've nailed it for a couple of reasons. You've nailed it, but we'll get to that afterwards. Go on.
Go on.
So, you know the way this race is named after, or is La Celia Wine Filly's Maiden, right? This is the La Celia Wines. Nunc est bibendum. I'll let Rory go on. Rory, what's it mean in Latin?
Nunc est bibendum just means now's the time to drink.
Sesh. Get the sesh on. Now is the time for a drink. Absolute sesh. So there you go, Ruby. You nailed it.
The Latin for start drinking, but you had no idea who Jonas Vingegaard is.
Not a clue. Not a clue. I mean, cycling, to be fair, it's boring when you're doing it. It's more boring when you're watching it.
One of the most famous sports people in Europe at the moment.
I know. The most famous sportsman in Europe at the moment is a cyclist. No, incorrect. Throw in like
probably,
any.
Probably not incorrect when you go with viewership figures around Europe for the Tour de France. I would say it's probably not incorrect, BK.
You pull those figures out then, Ruby, and I'll go back on that. You've already cracked me six times on this, but I don't think so. I think the old soccer ball will still be ahead of you there a little bit. Euros is only a week ago.
Or to put that another way, he might be world famous, but he's not world famous in Wicklow.
He absolutely isn't.
That's about the size of it, yeah, exactly. So Nunc e Bibendum, I thought, ran okay on debut at Goran Park in a race won by Glen Princess. The third Shavazi won in Killarney during the week. Counterculture was fourth, not too bad. So I thought Nunc e Bibendum did well enough on debut. Looked quite green, started running on, will have improved for the run. Was a huge price that day. Sonny Carey trains her, and I think in what looks an open maiden, she could have improved enough to get in the shake-up. So each way in the last for me.
Now is the time to drink, says Ruby Walsh. Nunc est bibendum in the very final race. Castanets for Rory. That is every race at the Curra looked at on Saturday afternoon, including the Irish Oaks. It's now time for best bets on a Saturday where we've got loads of races covered. Ruby, you go first.
Oh, for a nap.
Yeah.
Lord Church.
Lord Church. Okay, Lord Church at the Curra runs in the 450 on the card. Lord Church to make it four in a row. Rory?
Might have been my best bet on the Curra card as well. I will go to Market Raisin, though, with Manuelito. If that isn't favourite for the summer hurdle, it soon will be.
I think it was close, but it wasn't at the time recording anyway, but close. So Lord Church, you both went for Lord Church and you both went for Manuelito, but one nap for either. And that could be a nice little double for you. And remember, place a double on those meetings in shops and you get a free bet. All details, just pop into a shop. The lads will let you know. Right, that's it. I'm off to potentially watch some Tour de France and also maybe do a little bit more prep for the next podcast. I think is probably the best
bet. What I suggest?
Yeah.
Read the running order.
Read the run order. You never read the run order. I bloody send the run order. You never bloody read it. Why would I bloody read it? You bloody read it. Cheeky, that fella. Enjoy your weekend, sir. If you still laugh. Laughing at your own jokes isn't that good. Rory, go on then. What are you doing this weekend? Well, he's still chuckling away to himself.
I am playing paddle tomorrow morning and then.
The angles.
Watching a bit of racing, and then on Sunday I am watching my younger son play his first official FA sanctioned game of football for the mighty Alsford Town. Yeah, I've had to sign him up for the FA website and everything.
11 aside.
I don't know if it is 11 aside or
like
not.
Seven or eight. Yeah, I think they go gradually up.
Yeah,
that's a big day. Good luck to him.
Yeah, he's very excited about it.
Excellent. What position is it? Do we have positions? We have positions.
I don't think we have positions yet. Okay. He tends to look at everyone running after the ball and decide that the best place to be is sort of left back or something along those lines. He tends to hang back to defend because those no one else ones, is going to do it. He's very responsible. Very responsible.
And Ruby, you're Curra all weekend, I assume.
I am Curra Bortes, PK, yep.
Will you enjoy that, Ruby Walsh? I am going to Nunc Est Bibendum in London for my little brother's wedding. So hopefully one of the staff that you well know, Ruby, myself and herself will be watching the Irish Oaks on the phone anyway on Saturday afternoon. My cousin will be over there. We'll find a pub. Have a great weekend, all. We'll be back next week to look ahead to another weekend of racing, which is going to be great. And then there's the small matter of Galway Goodwood. Oh, my word. So many podcasts coming down the train. But have a great weekend, all. I'm off to Nunc Est Bibendum.